soul of sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, we're back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Today, once again, we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, that being verses 10 through 17. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessings of life. And as I bring this message today, I pray that you will help me to say every word that needs to be said. And I pray that the Spirit of God will do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. So we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the 18th part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now here in the book of Ephesians, in these various chapters, we find that the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now, the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, we find that he condescends to a battlefield. And the reason that he does this is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. My friend, the Christian is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians chapter number 6. Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verses 10 through 15 and with the most part of verse number 16. For when we went off the air last week, we were dealing with the fiery darts that Paul speaks of here in verse number 16. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on and say some further things in connection with these fiery darts. Now on the broadcast last week, I stated that Satan's attacks are called fiery darts here in this passage of Scripture. And my friend, there is certainly good reason for this. First of all, I emphasized the word fiery. The word fiery. And I said that there are two reasons for the use of the word fiery here in verse number 16. Number one, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because of the hellish hate with which he shoots them. Number two, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because in his temptations he seeks to inflame our passions. He seeks to kindle or ignite our lust. So therefore we find that there are two reasons for the use of this word fiery here in verse number 16. Not only that, but I also emphasized the word darts. And I stated that there are four reasons for the use of this word darts here in verse number 16. Number one, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are swift. Number two, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are silent. Number three, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are sharp. And then number four, Satan's attacks are called fiery darts because darts are sighted. They are sighted, or in other words, they are aimed. Now, we dealt with all of this on the broadcast last week. But at this time, I want to go a step further and say this also in connection with these fiery darts. Darts, many times, are thrown from various directions. Various directions. And this is also true when we study the fiery darts that Paul speaks of here in verse number 16. Have you, as a Christian, ever been reading your Bible? And all of a sudden you found that instead of concentrating on what you were reading, thoughts from various directions were entering your mind. Have you, as a Christian, ever been reading your Bible and all of a sudden the thought just struck you? The thought just struck you that you had other things to do and you ceased reading the Bible and laid it down and went to do whatever it was you thought of. My friend, many times when this happens in your life as a Christian, it's due to the fact that you have just been hit by one of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Most certainly this is so. Have you, as a Christian, ever been down on your knees praying? And all of a sudden you found that instead of concentrating on whatever it was you were praying about, thoughts from various directions, were entering your mind. Have you, as a Christian, ever been down on your knees praying? And all of a sudden, the thought just struck you. The thought just struck you that you had some other things to do. And you ceased praying and got up off your knees and went to do whatever it was you thought of. My friend, many times when this happens in your life as a Christian, it is due to the fact that you have just been struck by one of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Most certainly this is so. So we find that there is much to be learned from this expression, fiery darts, that Paul uses here in verse number 16. Now, I want to say this as well. When we come to Ephesians chapter number 6, we find that in verse number 14, Paul speaks about the breastplate of righteousness. Then in verse number 16, he speaks about the shield of faith. Now listen, my friend, the shield of faith. The shield will protect you as a Christian from the darts of Satan. While the breastplate will protect you from the daggers of so-called saints. And I say so-called because God only knows whether or not they are really saved. You say, preacher, who are you talking about? I'm talking about these who are backstabbers. Backstabbers. Some of the worst backstabbers that's ever lived upon the face of this earth has been professing Christians. Professing Christians. Many times, the worst enemy that a preacher has is another so-called preacher. Most certainly this is so. Before a man can stab you in the back, he must have his arm around you. And of course, this would involve those close to you. This would involve those who you would call your friends. Many of these in the religious realm that we call our friends are those that say that they will stick with you through the thick and thin. But when things get thick, they get thin. And instead of trying to help you, they do their best to hinder you. And they do all they can do to stab you in the back. In the back. And I might as well say this as well. If you, as a Christian, are ever going to do much in the service of the Lord Jesus, you are going to have to be saved from public opinion. Or in other words, you are going to have to be saved from what others say and think about you. Many Christians kick out on God and get discouraged because of what so-and-so said about them. Now listen, my friend, if you're listening to this broadcast today, and you are a Christian and you are discouraged because of what so-and-so said about you, I want you to listen for a moment. One time in the past, there was a young Christian man that stepped up to a preacher that was much older in years than he was. And this young man said, "Brother, haven't you heard what some of the brethren are saying about you?" The old preacher stood there and thought for a minute. After doing so, he said, "Yes, I have." But he said, "Sonny boy, it's like this." He said, "You take that mailman who delivers the mail." He said that there are many little mutts, or there are many little dogs that will run out and bark. There are many little dogs that will run out and dive at the pet's leg of that mailman. But what does he do about it? What does he do about it? He said that the mailman just acts like they are not even there and just keeps on putting out the mail. If the mailman did not do this, he would never get his job done. And my friend, you as a Christian cannot worry about what everybody says and thinks about you if you are going to get the job done by sending out the gospel. Sending out the gospel. If you are a Christian, you make sure that you are in the will of God and are obedient to the Lord Jesus in all matters. If you are a Christian, you make sure that you live a dedicated life under the Lord. And while you are doing so, there will be those who will talk and say unkind things. But my friend, pay them no mind. Pay them no mind. Just keep on putting out the gospel. Just keep on putting out the gospel. Now, having thus far dealt with verses 10 through 16 of this passage, and having thus far dealt with the first four pieces of armor that Paul speaks of here, I want to move on and begin dealing with the fifth piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in Ephesians chapter number 6. The fifth piece of armor that Paul speaks of is found in the first part of verse number 17. Now the first piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture is the girdle of truth. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The fourth piece is the shield of faith. And then the fifth piece is the helmet of salvation. This is spoken of in the first part of verse number 17. Hear the word of God says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now listen, my friend, in the weeks prior to this, we have already stated that all of these pieces of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture has reference to Jesus Christ. The whole armor that Paul speaks of here in Ephesians chapter number 6 has been provided in Christ. In Christ. Here we find that Paul speaks of the helmet of salvation. And my friend, when we come to the Word of God, we find that Jesus Christ is salvation. He is salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, Paul says, Christ in you! Christ in you! The hope of glory. My friend, Jesus Christ is salvation! So we find that when Paul speaks of the helmet of salvation, here in Ephesians chapter number 6, we find that he is having reference to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. Now, there are two points that I want to draw to the attention of our listeners while dealing with the helmet of salvation. Number one, the helmet is that piece of armor that is worn on the head for security. Security. My friend, security is associated with the helmet. Security. And my friend, when Paul here speaks of the helmet of salvation, he is referring to the knowledge or the assurance of salvation. Of salvation. Now, I well realize that we are living in a day when many people do not believe that an individual can have assurance of salvation. Many people today do not believe that an individual can know for sure that they have been saved. But listen, my friend, the Word of God declares that this salvation that God has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ, is a no-so, no-so salvation. At this time, I want us to notice a verse found in 1 John chapter number 5. And at this time, I might say this as well. According to John chapter 20 and verse number 31, the gospel according to John was written that individuals might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by doing so, take possession of eternal life. But then, according to 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 13, the book of 1 John was written that individuals could know that they do possess this eternal life. Now here in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 13, the Word of God says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." My friend, the Word of God here in this passage of Scripture declares that it is possible for an individual to know that they have been saved by the grace of God. That's as far as we're going today with the message entitled, "Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle?" You listen to the broadcast next week, and we will bring the 19th part of this message if God allows. And at that time, we will deal further with the helmet of salvation and the assurance of salvation that Paul speaks of here in Ephesians chapter number 6. But in closing today, I want to say this. As you are listening to this broadcast today, do you know, not think so, or hope so, or maybe so, but do you know that you are saved? If you can say, "Yes, preacher, I know that I am saved," you ought to thank the Lord for that which He has done for you. That which He is doing for you, and that which He will do for you. But if you are listening to this broadcast today, and you cannot say, "Yes, I know that I am saved," my friend, right now is the time to do something about it. Right now is the time to do something about it. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you are not saved, my friend, you need to be saved right now before another hour passes on the clock. If you're not saved, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you, and He will, and you'll know it. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for helping us to bring this message. And I pray that You will save every soul that's calling upon You at this time. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.